Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. Well, I want to welcome you this morning. I'm glad I can be here, and I'm glad all of you are here this morning. I don't believe that it's a coincidence that you're here, because I know that God has put something on my heart to share with you, and you're here to hear it. So just from your heart, pray and ask the Lord to show you what He wants to speak to you through this message today. Amen? Well, I just want to do a little bit of review, and is that okay? This is new and kind of new to me. Very new to me. I'm open to change. But anyway, thanks. All right, so the last message I have, aligning yourself or alignment for your assignment, basically was that every one of us in here, everybody in the world, God has created you with a purpose in mind. And giving you certain gifts to accomplish certain things in your life for Him and for His glory. And then when you operate in the plan of God for your life, that's when you'll be blessed. Amen? So some of the three things that went along with that, what's that? Sorry. It's still not right? I think it needs to come down, doesn't it? Down, and they're saying down and away. Okay. How's that? That's better? Now I can get a drink or cough and it won't kill you. But anyway. Okay. So the three things, can you hear me now? Yeah. That we have to think about in aligning ourselves for our assignment, the plan of God for our life, we have to, number one, know God. You have to get to know God. You've got to make it a point in your life at some point to say, I want to get to know God. So you seek Him. You seek Him. Then you make efforts to be more like Him. So you submit to Him. Submit to His plan. Submit to His will for your life. And when you submit to Him, He works in your life and helps you become more like His Son, Jesus, and you get closer to hearing His voice and sensing His direction and becoming more like Him. And then the third thing, in aligning yourself with your assignment, is to be an ambassador for Him. We're all called to be ambassadors for Him. And that means to reach out to others to help them come to know Him in whatever way the Lord has desire for you to do that. So the name of my message this morning is A to Z. And if anybody has known me for very long, I'm always talking about you got to get yourself from A to B, A to B. You know, and I'm always saying that. And because that's just my passion. I want to help people get from this point to this point in their life. In a practical sense, I do leadership training, and I love it. And I love to help people who are in a position where they feel stuck or there's a lot of difficulty in their life. There's a lot of disadvantage. And, you know, and God loves us. He has a plan for us. He wants to get us over here to the blessed life that He has for us, the abundant life that Jesus said He had for us. And as I was praying about my message, I thought, you know what? It's really not from A to B, my message today. My message is going to be from A to Z, because you have a lot of things between A to Z. From the time you're born to the time you die. We were all born, and we're all going to die. And there's a lot of B's through Y that are assignments and steps and things like that that God has for us to get from A to Z. That's life. You know, none of us going to live forever in this world. And so we got to think about where we're going to be after we pass from this life into the next. Amen? So I hope this word will encourage you today and help you find your way to your eternal destination that God has for you, which is heaven with Him forever. Amen? What more could we want? So ask yourself this today. What do I need to do today that will empower me to go forward towards my eternal destination? Don't be judgy, as somebody said the other day. I heard that for the first time. I thought that was kind of funny. Don't be judgy about other people's journey and their process. We don't know where people are with the Lord. We don't know what He's doing in their life. And so many times we go, well, this is what God told me to do, so maybe you should probably do it too. Well, what's wrong with you? You know, I've had that kind of in my life in the past, because you get all excited when you first serve the Lord and the Lord shows you what to do and you're like, well, you need to do this, because that's what God told me. No, everybody's on a journey. And we all need to mind our own business. Think about ourselves, because we're all individually going to stand before God ourselves. And so this girl, Terry Foy, I listen to her all the time on Christian TV. She's like a Christian motivational speaker. She's really good. She said, you didn't have a choice as to how your life started, but you have everything to do with the way it progresses. And that's just the truth. It's up to us. God has given us everything. The Bible says Jesus has given us everything we need to live this life, to be godly in Christ Jesus. And so we just need to know what it is that the Lord has provided. Would you find that out through his word? And then you can just move forward in what God has for you. It's up to you. Our number one priority in life, as I said earlier, should be to know God. That's always got to be our number one priority. Then, as we get to know God, we're enabled to sense his direction more closely, and then we can follow him more accurately. It's just like being a little baby. When you first come to know the Lord, you know, little babies are born. Gabriel was born not long ago, you know. He gets to know people by hearing their voice and spending time with them more and more and more. Like, he finally now, I think, kind of recognizes me and likes me. Okay. He's cute. But anyway, excuse me. And so we have to spend time with the Lord. We have to read his word. We have to pray. We have to spend time with the people of God. And as we do that, I'm going to explain it to you. You'll be able to more accurately sense his direction in your life, because God loves us. He has our best in mind. He knows what's best. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. So why wouldn't we trust him to guide us? Amen? So we have to be brave, and we have to be willing to let him be Lord of our life. God and Lord. That's what it means to be. Jesus is Lord. He is God. He is going to call the shots. Amen? So is everybody in here, my professor showed me this the other day. I thought it was kind of interesting. Make a fist with your hands like this right now. The way you hold this, okay, that's probably the way you always do it. Now do it the opposite way you just did it naturally. Does that not feel weird? And it's because you're not used to it. And you're always doing things that you're used to. And it's hard to change. You know, but the Lord wants us to change. Just this morning, I'm being put to the test because I normally use a microphone you hold in your hand, and I absolutely love that thing because it's like a security blanket. I've been singing on it and preaching on it for 30 years or more. And I come in this morning, they say, well, you're the first one that's going to be able to try out our new microphone on my head like this. Oh, Lord, I'm going to have to practice when I preach that I don't have anything to hold on to, and I can't control it, you know, but I have to trust the process, right, and trust the people who know what they're doing, and they can control it and help me out with that. And it's the same thing with the Lord. You have to trust the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He has our best interest. He wants to do the best, for us. So let's get with the program, amen? Let's go. Those of you who have sermon notes, the number one sermon note there is, like never before, I want you to be led by the Holy Spirit. Like never before. Every day, it's a new day. Today, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit more. Because you know what? Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God or children of God. You know, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because if you're not led by the Holy Spirit and doing things the way God wants you to do it, I don't care if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for 50 years. You can still decide that you want to do things your way. And you want to do them in your time. And you want, that's our nature. Our nature is to be selfish. Our nature is to analyze everything ourselves and figure it out. But you know what? We don't know everything. We can't see everything. So when we trust God, you know, he'll take care of us in that way. And we have to grow in that way. How do we grow in that way? Through reading the Bible, because the Bible shows us what, I mean, this is kind of elementary, but just think about it for a minute. Most Christians know this, but the Bible helps us to understand how God thinks and what he wants and how he does things. So when we read the Bible says our mind is renewed You know, we begin to adjust the way we think. Because the way we're raised, the way we're taught in school, or our parents teach us things, you know, our church might teach us certain things, but if it's not right in line with the way that God thinks and the way that God wants to do things, we're going to be out in left field somewhere. That's just all there is to it. We're going to miss the best that God has for us. So number two, it's like a GPS, the Bible. And then we pray. We have to pray. Spend time seeking the Lord. And then we serve, like on a dream team, small group, in some way serve the church or and other people. Because when you serve, you get out there and you get with people and you develop relationships. You begin to see things, if you're open and if you're humble, in your life that are actually that you don't see. When you're driving down the highway, you know, you have blind spots, and you don't see sometimes the car that's right there. Well, when you get into relationships, sometimes people point things out to you. Somebody will point out the fact that last time I spoke, I hold the microphone right up in front of my face. I'm open to change. Amen. It's hard. It's hard, but I'm doing it because I have to do it. And so that's another reason why I was receptive to this new microphone. Because God's calling me on it. But anyway, so number two in your sermon notes, then you'll start, once you do all those things, then you'll start to get your directions from the Lord. Just stay on course and recalculate as necessary. You know, we're not perfect. This world is not perfect. When we're going about doing our stuff, you know, we get all, you know, I do, especially with my personality type, all involved and passionate about something, you know, and maybe it's overboard, you know, and the Lord wants me to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, reevaluate the situation. Measure the situation. Are you, you know, within the guidelines of what my will is for your life right now? And that's good for us. We're actually supposed to do that basically on a daily basis. And when you pray and read your Bible, you know, you can do that. So I set time aside every morning in my office. I have a little couch, a little dog, a little candle, my Pandora, and my Bible. And I just sit there. I mean, I can sit there for hours. It's just heaven on earth. Most of the time. And I'm consistent with it. The more consistent you are with it, the better it gets. And I tell you, my little poodle, Billy, loves to get that quiet time and just as much as I do. He looks forward to it every day. All right, let's see. Let's read 1 Samuel 16:7. You know, the most important thing is that we have a pure heart before God, because God looks at our heart, even when we make mistakes. You know, if our heart's pure, and somehow or another, you know, we make a wrong choice, He can redeem that. The Bible says He is a redeemer. So 1 Samuel 16, this is the Amplified Version. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He's so good. I love Him so much. So life is not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. So always just, you know, check your heart. Your heart. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, they were kind of complaining about a couple friends that they have. And I said, well, you know, in this situation, I really don't believe that their heart was wrong. You know, people will be flaky. People will be squirrely, as somebody said. People will say things and do. I have said things and done things that I did not really realize I said or did it or in that way. Or, you know, I didn't mean any harm by it. But, you know, you have to give people the benefit of the doubt. You have to go, wow, you know what? I just don't think, you know, in certain situations, you can tell. Some people do have a bad heart. You know, they are vindictive, you know, they're angry or something at you, you know, for something. But when somebody, people go through things, we just respond or react in certain ways, and you just have to kind of give people the benefit of the doubt and just take it to the Lord and walk in love. Amen? All right, let's see. Our struggle is real, but if I can overcome, you can too. Don't want to minimize your struggle in life right now. You know, we all go through different things. Some things are really, really hard. But mostly for each of us in here today, in this country and in this time, it's nothing compared to some of the things some of the people went through in the Bible. Really nothing. Teacher Beth Moore says, you know, really it's like minimal compared to what most people have gone through to serve the Lord in times past, even in other parts of the world today. So think about, first of all, Jesus as our example, what He went through to fulfill God's plan for Him. Queen Esther, I love that story. You know, she got all excited, got beautified, got in that castle, ended up marrying the king. And then it was like, wow, for such a time as this, I was born, you know. I'm going to have to put my life on the line right now, literally, for the people of God, and I've got to do it. This is what I was called to do. So she did it. She was faithful, amen. And it was hard, I'm sure. And then Joseph, the story of Joseph, if you haven't read that story in the Bible, it's a phenomenal story. It's amazing that he was thrown in the pit by his brothers and ends up in the palace reigning over this province. It's an amazing story, but it was hard, the things he went through, the B to Y there. It was like, wow. And then the Apostle Paul, the children of Israel, our example. The Apostle Paul was at one point in Acts 27, if you want to look that up later, it is an amazing story. But somebody who's one of my modern-day heroes, who is such a good example of being an amazing overcomer, putting the mission of God before anything else in his life, although he has these other things in his life, he does, it's amazing. God is number one to him. That's Tim Tebow. Everybody like Tim Tebow? Oh, I love him. I've got a little video clip here I want you to watch real quick. Right now, that is a testimony of this.
Red carpet, you know, that can be life changing for people. And so to be able to be part of that and see that, and now be able to take that mindset to a field, because so much of handling sports is handling pressure. Well, what pressure do you have if you're 0 for 12 and you're at the plate versus someone that is fighting for their life? Versus someone that, you know, we picked up on the side of the street in Haiti because they're crippled or they're not wanted or they're thrown in the garbage. Like, how do you compare those things? And for me, there's not a comparison. And that's why you're able to handle sports as a game, because it still is. Yeah, we can pursue it. We can give so much of our time, energy, and effort to it. But at the end of the day, I know that's not why I'm here. It's not my biggest purpose. It's not my biggest calling. It's not what I want to be. It's not how I want to be known in my life. It's not as a football player, as a baseball player, as, you know, someone that, you know, worked hard to accomplish those things. I want my life to be so much more than that. I want to be someone that was known for bringing faith, hope, and love to those needing a brighter day in their darkest hour of need. And that is something that is a life calling for me, and so it's so much bigger than sports. But I am so grateful for sports because it's given me a platform to be able to share and love and care for people all over the world. So I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Amen. God bless you. You know, but that's really a message for all of us to hear. You know, we're going to all do different things. We're going to, some of us in here are going to accomplish great things, you know, and glory be to God. And he's given us different ones, platforms and opportunities to glorify him and honor him. So let's go to the third sermon note. Excuse me. Fulfilling your destiny is not complicated. There it is. It's not complicated. But sometimes it gets hard. However, it's doable. Because God is faithful. We don't have it in ourselves to do what we need to do for the Lord. God is faithful and we have to depend upon him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people. But God keeps his promise and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it and so provide you with a way out. Amen? That's what you got to remember when you're in a situation like that. Where's my way out? God, you said you'd provide it, and he always will. I'm here to testify after serving him for almost 40 years. God has never, he has always been there to help me. He has never forsaken me or left me to try to figure things out by myself. It's when I panic and start trying to analyze everything and start trying to pull, you know, make the shots and everything. I have to go, whoa. And sometimes we get into a situation where it's like, wow, you know, it's almost irreparable. But then God will pluck us out of that situation and help us if we depend upon him. Okay, the next scripture is his grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:19. My grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and mercy are more than enough. Always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast, the Apostle Paul was saying, in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So when we get weak, that's when we're saying, you know, we humble ourselves. God, I don't have the strength to go through this. You've got to come through for me. And that's when his power is there for you. You know, if we could live like that every day in every situation, imagine. you know, what that would be like, what your life would be like. That's the blessed life, really. So there's no excuses. You got to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep on going on. You know, it's every test, it's like a pass-fail situation. You know, but when you fail a test or a little quiz last week, I was like, oh, I failed a quiz. I couldn't believe it. I was so tempted to go, I'm walking out of here and not coming back. I'm done. You know, I just studied. I mean, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you know. And that's just the way it is a lot of times. When we do something that we know it disappoints us, it disappoints other people, it disappoints God, we got to go, wow, you know, this is not the big picture. You know, my teacher said, nah, don't be discouraged. You can still get an A in this class. And I thought, okay, I'm going to try. I'm just keep on keeping on. So that's the way we have to do with life. In the sermon notes, number 4, get past the obstacles of anxiety, hopelessness, fear, and anger. We overcome with trust, hope, faith, and love in place of those things. Anxiety will get you off track. Hopelessness will delay. Fear will get you off track. Anger will definitely, you know, get you off in the wrong zone there. But if you can overcome, you can trust God, hope in Him, have faith, and love other people. Always walk in love. That's a biggie. That's a biggie. And if you can walk in love with other people, you'll overcome. Number 5, your sermon notes, be mindful of your mission and fulfill your destiny. The Christian journey is a step-by-step process. We need to let the Lord work His process in our life, and it's all good. And then you'll have a blessed life. Then, if you let God work His process, then you'll have a blessed life. I mean, you'll have difficult moments and times, but in the end, it's going to be good. His promises are true. Now, I have a slide up here by a man named Chris Vallotton. He's one of my favorite men of God. He's at Bethel in Redding, California, and all the world. He's always saying things that, you know, are like out there, but it's so true. It's so good. If you embrace the promise without the process, you're living in a fantasy. And that's just where the rubber meets the road, as they say. You think, oh, I'm going to get the blessings of God in my life, you know. I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that, you know. I'll take all these promises. You've seen these little, when I was first a Christian back in the 70s, they had these little bread box things you put in your kitchen or somewhere. You pull that little promise out for them. Oh, yeah, I'll take that, you know. And every day you had a promise to receive, which is good, which is true. It's God's word. But people don't realize a lot of times that if you're going to get this, you got to do this. And so you got to look at the Bible and you got to find out, where am I missing it? Sometimes I'm like, where am I missing it? What's going on, you know, when I'm in a certain situation. So always be measuring and evaluating. So in conclusion, the 4 things that I want to leave with you today is, number 1, every day ask yourself, where am I going to go from here? Every day. You know, it may not be anything significant or different than what you normally do, but just, where am I going to go? Where do I go from here today? Number 2, get your directions from the Lord and follow Him. Follow Him. Don't get any preconceived ideas of how things are going to be. That's where you get messed up sometimes. You think, okay, if I do this, I'll get that. Da, da, da. Well, most of the time that's right, but sometimes it's timing. Sometimes that, you know, changes things up. Sometimes it's, you know, it's just situations. You have to trust God. It's like the story of Joseph. The Lord showed him that one day he was going to be reigning, and he had like a bunch of brothers, and they all despised him for saying that, because he said, I'm going to reign over you. And they were like, what? So they put him in a pit. And he was delivered out of that pit to go towards the palace. He was in jail for a while. God gave him an opportunity to get out of jail and to go help some of the high-ups in the palace. Something happened there. He ended up back in jail. At that point, don't you think he could have said, oh, Lord, I give up. I'm never going to see that dream fulfilled in my life. But then, don't you know, eventually, if you read the story, he ended up reigning over that province. You know, he was given the power to reign. And then the dream came true. His brothers came and bowed down before him, and he was able to bless them. He forgave them. He loved them. He blessed them. And that's why I think God was able to use Joseph, because he had a lot of faith, he had a lot of hope and trust in God, and the dream came to pass. So you can do it. Life's not about us, it's about Him and His kingdom. coming on the earth. In Matthew 6, the Lord Jesus prayed this prayer: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, we're in relationship with the Lord as a Christian. We're supposed to work with him. We're supposed to tell him things we want. We're supposed to, you know, say, what about this, what about that? And there's a lot of examples of that in the Bible, and sometimes the Lord will go with that, with us on things. But he knows what's best in every situation. If he's against something, back off. Amen? If you want to turn out good, he's given us the grace and power to overcome. It's up to us. May his kingdom come and his will be done. So let's bow our heads right now. Just want to say a prayer that everybody in here can pray with all of your heart. And let's just all speak this out loud. There's power in your words. And just want you to declare with me this morning. If you love God, if you're sold out to him, if you want to be sold out to him, if you want to serve him, if you want to be with him forever in heaven, then pray this prayer right now with all of your heart and mean it. Father God, I desire for you to be the Lord of my life. My life is yours. Thank you for your grace and power to overcome. Thank you for getting me from here to where you want me to be. I trust you. I will follow you. I want to be with you forever. You are worthy. Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, this is the beginning of today's a new day for every one of us. Every morning his mercies are new, right? And every morning we can start fresh. But make today in your heart special that you've decided you're going to trust him, follow him, and be with him forever. Amen. Up here afterwards, we're going to have people to pray with you. I'm going to stay up here afterwards. If you have any questions or you need prayer for anything, we want you to come up, and the Lord will help you. You know what? You know that saying, the Lord helps those who help themselves? That's not a scripture, but that's biblical. I mean, you know, sometimes we get in situations where we can't get help. We can't even help ourselves. God comes through for us. But if we can help ourselves, God wants us to. Amen? So pull yourself up by the bootstraps, make a decision, and follow through. Amen? All right.
Amen. Thank you. Give Rebecca a hand. That was a great, great message. Thank you so much for sharing that. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with Rebecca for the very first time,